on some of the aspects of the method of equalizing and exchanging self for others. The second method for generating bodhicitta. We went through the special equanimity that needs to be cultivated by which is seeing others as equal to oneself. So this is stronger than the equilibrium of not discriminating others into the three groups, you know, through attachment, some are friends, through aversion, some are enemies, and through ignorance and lack of concern, others are strangers. So even if we see others equal in themselves, you know, equal to each other, still there's a sense of I am different from them. I am still more important. My happiness is more important than theirs. And so there is still a subtle discrimination of feeling cool towards some and warm towards others and neutral towards others. So that needs, that subtle discrimination needs to be recognized through the various points that we meditated upon, reflecting not sitting beings haven't only just been our mother and father, but they've been our father and you know, every relationship, and they have helped so much, immeasurably, in all these different ways. Then the thought that still having the urge to discriminate and assert one's, you know, oneself in a term of self-righteousness. It's like a group of prisoners who are all condemned to death. They're all on death row and they're squabbling about who sits where in the dining room. So we and others are all condemned to death where we're born, with a karmic lifespan which cannot be increased. We can even die sooner than our karmic lifespan is used up. So being so caught up in self-righteousness, self-importance, and seeing others as lesser than oneself is ridiculous. And the main point in seeing self and others equal is that all of our minds function in the same way. We're simply trying to experience happiness and freedom from suffering, but unaware of the real causes of happiness and suffering, we inadvertently hurt each other, or we hurt each other and we inadvertently push happiness away and attract unhappiness. Then the next step was meditating on the many faults of self-importance. Again, self-importance is seeing one's own needs, one's own being as more important than others. Having little or no concern for others, dismissing their needs as being less important than mine. So we'll take up the meditation then on reflecting on the advantages of selflessly cherishing others, seeing others as more important than oneself, and then the actual way to think about exchanging thoughts for self and thoughts for others, and then we'll do some meditation on immeasurable love and immeasurable compassion in relation to the Tonglen practice, taking and giving. So begin with checking your physical posture, then focus your mind on the coming and going of the breath. As we mentioned this morning, maintaining uninterrupted mindfulness on the sensation of the air entering and leaving the nostrils. Begin by reflecting upon your own experiences in life, when your own self-importance, seeing your needs as more important than others, has created every problem, from small situations where you say or do something that totally deflates any atmosphere of happiness in the family or at work or amongst others, you wanted things to go your way, not caring what others think, So small things like that, you just deflate the mood up to extreme violent arguments, verbal aggression, physical aggression, mentally abusing others. All come from self-cherishing, self-importance. Even you get what you want, your mind is not peaceful and happy, because you know you've upset somebody else. Then think of the times when you have gone out of your way to give others what they want, even at the cost of what you want. You've relaxed, and out of concern for them, you've let them have things their way. And things have gone well. Yet no great loss to yourself. The entire mood of the home, the office, wherever, is raised, elevated, happy. So easy. To help others. The benefits for others of selflessly cherishing them are that it places their minds in peace and happiness, and they feel relief from their troubles. The benefits for self from selflessly cherishing others, even though it's not our goal, a higher rebirth, born into a beautiful environment, having an attractive body, being wealthy, healthy, gaining a perfect human rebirth, being able to achieve bodhicitta, liberation and enlightenment. Think that all sentient beings, in their minds, they have the seed of compassion, wishing to help others. We see it in the animal world, adults caring for the young. Manifesting grief when one of the group dies. And every human has a place in their mind of compassion. Think that I must nurture this seed of compassion. Through the practice of exchanging thoughts of self-importance for thoughts directed towards the welfare of others. I'm just one individual. Others are countless. I must exchange my self-importance by putting it onto others and seeing them as self-important. And instead of ignoring the welfare of others, I should direct that attitude to myself. I must abandon my self-importance and replace it with self-confidence, thinking, I shall lead all beings out of suffering. Knowing my potential virtuous qualities, my self-esteem grows. It does not diminish. It's my responsibility to guide all beings out of suffering, and I shall do it. With that thought, every virtuous action we accomplish enhances our self-confidence. That we can achieve such a vast goal. Every non-virtuous thought and action diminishes self-confidence. Weakens our ability to achieve that goal. That non-virtue comes from self-importance. This is my real enemy, not anybody or anything out there. It's in here, in my mind. Which is good because I have access to it. I don't have the access or the ability to transform the outer world so that it's always pleasant. But I do have the opportunity to transform the inner world of my mind so that it's always pleasant. Cherishing others, seeing their needs as more important than my own, is the best attitude. For attaining my goal of enlightenment, sentient beings are equally as important as the Buddhas. They are the object of bodhicitta, their welfare. Bodhicitta is the primary cause of Buddhahood. Think, I can and I must practice exchanging self and others. And do so single-pointedly. Now imagine your self-cherishing, your self-importance, that attitude in the aspect of a black rock at your heart. Then reflect upon the various hell realms, the beings suffering from hot hells, cold hells, neighboring hells, occasional hells. Unimaginable torment and agony, physical and mental. Think that you're sitting on a small rise, surrounded by the hells, and you can hear the moans and the wailings of the hell beings. Mm-hmm. Remember that they've been infinitely kind to you, each one, in past lives. Generate great compassion for them. And over several slow and deep breaths, imagine that you take their suffering upon yourself, both their mental pain and the physical harsh environment. You transform it into black light, and as you inhale, you draw that suffering into yourself. And with each breath, this black light accumulates above the black rock at your heart of self-cherishing, growing more and more powerful as a thundercloud. Finally, take one long, deep breath. At the peak of inspiration, hold your breath and imagine that the cloud turns into a lightning bolt which strikes the black rock of self-cherishing at your heart, totally annihilating it. That moment, you attain Buddhahood, and as you exhale over several breaths, you send out the blissful light of love, going to all the hell realms, transforming the environment into a pure land. The bodies of the hell beings into the bodies of devas in the pure lands, where they all meet the teachings and are able to practice the teachings and achieve Buddhahood as a result. So do this over several breaths, sending out the blissful white light of love from your heart with each exhalation. Rejoice deeply in your heart at the sense of relief, happiness and joy in the minds of all the beings from the hell realms. Then imagine you're sitting on a hill meditating amongst the hungry ghosts all around you, experiencing the various types of suffering. Visualize the black rock of self-importance at your heart. Take the suffering upon yourself in the form of black light over 7 inhalations, built up to a cloud. At the end of the 7th inhalation, you hold your breath. The cloud becomes a lightning bolt, destroys self-importance, and for 7 breaths, you send out a light of love, transforming the environment, the bodies of the hungry ghosts, as you did with the hell beings. Then imagine you're surrounded by all beings of the animal realm and do the same visualization, taking the sufferings upon yourself, destroying self-importance and giving out every happiness with great love. Now imagine you're surrounded by all the beings in the human realm, experiencing the various sufferings of the human realm. Aging, sickness, dying, caught up in war, famine. Loneliness, rejection, abandonment. And grief. And as before, visualize your self-importance at your heart as a rock. Over 7 breaths, take your suffering upon yourself. Destroy the black rock of self-importance, and with great love, send out the blissful white light that transforms the environments into a pure realm, and so on. They all attain enlightenment. Then imagine surrounded by all the beings of the desire realm, gods. Although having great pleasure experiencing the suffering of fighting with the Asuras, being wounded, being banished from societies, and eventually dying. And even the beings in the form and formless realms, who have no gross suffering, but they're suffering the pain of being caught under the conditions of karma and afflictions. Inevitably, they will fall from the situation. As before, establish the rock of self-cherishing. Inhale the suffering of the devas upon yourself. Take it with compassion. Destroy self-cherishing with the 7th breath. And through 7 breaths, send out the blissful white light of love as before. all the pure lands that have been established absorb into the sentient beings, and they dissolve away into the Dharmakaya. All the light of love flows back into you. Feel great joy that you've repaid the kindness of all mother sentient beings. Focus single-pointedly on your mind being oneness in the aspect of love, realizing emptiness, filling your body. Then you dedicate the merit of this meditation to all beings by thinking that through this merit I quickly achieve enlightenment so that I may be able to lead all mother sentient beings out of their suffering to that blissful state. Then you could relax and stop the meditation. So, as so many lamas have pointed out, that we struggle to survive in society pursuing the 8 worldly concerns in an effort to bolster our sense of self-confidence and self-esteem so that we can compete against each other for the prizes that we believe are out there to obtain. But self-importance is a poison that even if we win ego games, it's not true happiness. It's happiness acquired at the expense of others. But self-esteem built upon love and compassion is not poisoned. It is so powerful. That is the energy which will enable us to follow the Bodhisattva's path and achieve the goals of enlightenment for all beings. There is no other way. And it can be done. We've got to see that. By seeing others, their welfare is more important than my own. It's not a weakening of our ego. it strengthens our self-image in a pure way, without poison. Okay, so thank you. See you tomorrow.